Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the TTF Plastics Industries Limited Q3 FY26 earnings call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Saloni from Go India Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Go India Advisors, I welcome all of you to third quarter and nine month of FY26 earnings conference call of DAZE Plastics Industries Limited. Today, from the management, we have Mr. Narendra Surana, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Dev Surana, Whole-time Director and CEO, Mr. Rajesh Kothari, Whole-time Director, Mr. Aryan Bothra, Chief Financial Officer, and Dr. Rakesh Tiwari, CEO, Renewable Energy. I now hand over the conference to Mr. Dev Surana for his opening remarks, and then we will open the floor for question and answer. Over to you.
Thanks, Saloni. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the DAZE Plastics quarter three and nine months of financial year 26 earnings call. We appreciate your time and continued interest in our journey. Today, our board of directors approved the financial results for quarter three FY26. We are pleased to share with you our performance highlights, key developments, and outlook for the future. As we enter 2026, India stands poised for robust growth, bolstered by supportive macroeconomic tailwinds and proactive policy measures from the government, and we expect to counter external headwinds. Strategic fiscal stimuli, including personal tax relief and GST 2.0 reduction, coupled with multiple RBI rate cuts, liquidity injections, regulatory reforms, and sustained CapEx momentum, have eased monetary conditions and unlocked double-digit corporate earnings potential. Macro indicators affirm this resilience, with real GDP growth surpassing expectations at 7.8% for first quarter and 8.2% in the second quarter, while inflationary impulses remained well contained, providing RBI ample flexibility to stimulate further if needed. Thus, domestic tailwinds decisively outweigh uncertainties ahead. The proposed capital expenditure of 12.2 lakh crore for FY27, up 11.5% in line with the nominal GDP growth, highlights the government's steadfast commitment to infrastructure modernization and sustained capacity building in critical sectors. Budget 26-27 positions energy security, domestic manufacturing, and long-term system stability at the heart of India's growth strategy. The emphasis beyond mere capacity addition to reducing import dependence, strengthening value chains, and enabling forward-looking infrastructure such as storage, digitization, nuclear power, and CCUS. The 1,000 crore allocation as viability gap funding for battery energy storage systems will be pivotal in enhancing grid stability, integrating renewables more effectively, and managing peak power demand. This initiative will curb reliance on fossil fuels and hasten India's shift to a cleaner, more reliable, and sustainable energy future. To effectively meet and exceed this escalating demand, particularly from the renewables and power sector, we are proactively expanding our geographical footprint to reach new markets and simultaneously broadening our comprehensive product offerings to better serve these growth areas. Building strategically on this overarching trend towards renewable energy adoption, we have made the decisive move to enter the high-potential sunrise sector of battery energy storage systems manufacturing. The global energy storage market is experiencing rapid evolution and expansion, strongly supported by ambitious worldwide decarbonization objectives and the accelerating integration of renewable energy sources across diverse geographies. This forward-thinking diversification firmly positions DAZE Plastics at the vanguard of the broader energy transformation landscape. To elaborate further on our BESS initiative, we will commence operations through an assembly business model, with our dedicated greenfield plant scheduled to be fully operational starting in the second half of this year. This expansion will involve a capacity expenditure of approximately 150 crore in phase one, entirely funded through internal accruals, and will establish an initial plant capacity of 5 gigawatts. We will introduce this as a distinct new reporting segment, and in the early stages, we anticipate generating revenue in the range of 800 to 900 crores from just 1 gigawatt of battery storage capacity, which is projected to contribute around 20% to our overall revenue. Now, despite global disruptions affecting export activities, we have demonstrated remarkable resilience and remain committed to achieving our ambitious revenue targets of 5,000 crores by financial year 30, with approximately 20-25% of the revenue derived from exports. Here, I would like to highlight that our export contribution increased in this quarter, even against the backdrop of challenging geopolitical crisis. Notably, exports grew strongly to 196 crores, almost 200 crores, in quarter 3 of financial year 2026, which is 27% of our total revenue. For 9 months, FY26, exports reached around 523 crores, reflecting 33% year-on-year growth throughout the year. Our unwavering focus has been enhancing operational efficiencies, advancing cutting-edge process technologies, and strategically expanding our product portfolio to meet the evolving market demands. In line with this strategy, we have successfully expanded our production capacities in both halogen-free flame retardant compounds and PVC compounds, which are key material and critical to the cable industries. Notably, HFR compounds are poised to replace traditional PVC in house wiring, and the government has now mandated the use in high safety public infrastructure such as malls, metro stations, hospitals, schools, and other vital public areas. While HFR also plays an indispensable role in manufacturing solar cables. Furthermore, PVC remains the most widely utilized compounds across the cable sector, with surging demand driven by the entry of two new major players like Adani and Ultratech. Its market requirements are expected to rise substantially. We are therefore delighted to announce a significant new capacity additions. We have commissioned an additional 30,000 metric tons per annum, comprising 5,000 metric tons dedicated to HFR and 25,000 metric tons to PVC, thereby elevating our total installed capacity to 10,000 metric tons per annum for HFFR and 69,000 metric tons per annum for PVC. This expansion has been funded entirely through our internal accruals at a cost of 50 crores. And as of December 2026, our installed capacity now stands at 268,400 metric tons per annum. It is also worth highlighting that Dev Plastics stands as the only listed player in India engaged in HFR manufacturing, underscoring a unique market position. Looking ahead, we are also planning to further enhance our capacity in XLPE compounds, where we already command an impressive more than 33% market share. XLP compounds are gaining traction as grids and industries demand higher efficiency and reliability. The global XLP cables market size was valued at $35.84 billion in 2025 and is projected to grow at a staggering $61.42 billion by 2034. These strategic efforts have not only enhanced customer responsiveness and product performance, but also positioned us strongly to capture emerging opportunities in a rapidly evolving market landscape. Our capacity enhancement initiatives are progressing on schedule, aligning with the strategic roadmap that underpins Dev Plastics' growth momentum, directly tied to the expanding wire and cable sector, relying on India's infrastructure development and the government's substantial CAPEX commitments. The increasing emphasis on renewables, energy security, and significant investments in transmission and distribution systems powerfully drive demand for our polymer compounds, while more entering the industry further strengthens our so given our unique position in the high entry barrier market. Backed by a three-generation legacy as a trusted supplier of leading to becoming the leading manufacturer, we have leveraged established relationships, proven product reliability, and zero rejection rates that underscore our unmatched quality assurance and operational excellence. To drive greater efficiency, we are collaborating with stakeholders to reduce manual intervention in raw material handling and finished product packaging as well. Building on the existing automation in packaging lines while exploring further expansions for higher productivity, lower cost, and consistency. In FY26, we remain confident of surpassing the earlier guidance of growing on 10 to 12% CAGR basis, demonstrating shared commitment, resilience, and ambition to become a top quality polymer compounder to the world from India. I now hand over to our CFO, Mr. Arjun Bothra, for his comments and remarks.
Thank you, Devji. Good afternoon. Wishing you all a very happy new year filled with success and new opportunities. I trust you had the opportunity to review our results and investor presentation. We at Dev Plastics are pleased to report a positive third quarter and 9 months results for FY26. As of 9 months FY26, our production volume stood at roughly 150,000 tons, while our capacity utilization stood at 81%. For the third quarter, revenue from operation reached approximately 733 crores, representing a 11% YOY growth. EBITDA stood at 80 crores with a margin of 11%, while PAT was approximately 48 crores, delivering a margin of 7% for the quarter. For the 9 months, revenue from operations reached approximately 2,182 crores, representing double-digit growth of 17% Y-on-Y basis. EBITDA stood at 234 crores with a margin of 11%, while PAT was approximately 147 crores, delivering a margin of 7% for the quarter. This performance was primarily driven by sustained strong demand in the wire and cable industry, coupled with an increase in our average selling price. Export contribution also grew sharply. With improved trade terms and regulatory alignment, the U.S. trade deal positions XLP compound industry for increased exports, scale efficiencies, and long-term demand growth. We remain strongly confident in exceeding our earlier FY26 guidance, with our goal of reaching 5,000 crore in top line by FY30, firmly on track. Looking ahead, we anticipate this positive demand momentum will continue in the upcoming quarters and fiscals also. We now open the floor for question and answers.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Archana from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I have a few questions. So starting with the battery energy storage systems. So how we should look at this segment in terms of contribution to earnings from H2 FY27? In the opening remark, you mentioned that 800 to 900 crores from 1 gigawatt. But how we should model these numbers from, let's say, H2 FY27 and 28 onwards. Also, if you can help us to understand the operating margin profile once the business stabilizes. So that is my first question, sir.
Thank you, Archana ji. As far as FY27 is concerned, we will start with in the second half of this year, and we expect the volume to be initially lower side. However, from FY28, the volumes will pick up substantially, because initially there will be some approval stages and other alignments which will require some time for teething. I think the teething issue will be there. So as Devji has highlighted, we are expecting the first year, the first gigawatt hour revenue to be around 800 to 900 crores. However, for this financial year, which is just a correction in the statement, it is expected to be in the range of within 300 to 500 odd crores. And
so 300 to 500 crores, sir. Arjun ji, you are talking about FY27.
Yes.
Right. And when we'll reach this 1 gigawatt? Maybe FY28.
Yes. Right. FY28 can be more than 1 gigawatt hour. Also, he has just given a guidance that 1 gigawatt hour contributes close to 800 to 900 crores of revenue.
Right. Arjun ji, how should I model these numbers? Like what? Where do we want to reach? Let's say, you know, like two gigawatt, 3 gigawatt by the, let's say, 2030. Like, if you can just help me with part.
So, Tiwari ji is there on the call. Tiwari ji.
Yes. Good evening to all of you. This is Rakesh Tiwari, leading the renewable energy division at Dev Plastics. And as our group CEO and CFO mentioned, that we already launched our clean energy to manufacture our 5 gigawatt hour battery manufacturing in Ahmedabad. So regarding the 1 gigawatt is like a, how you want to understand the models and the terms of amount. A 1 gigawatt is equal to 1000 megawatt, and 1000 megawatt multiplied by 1000, and it's in terms of the kilowatt is around 1 million kilowatt. Now the current scenario, if we are going to sell the BSS container or any BSS equipment which are available in India as the global market, is the minimum one kilowatt is $100. So now is our $100 one kilowatt is the current price by today. So multiply by 1 gigawatt is around 950 crore rupees, if we are talking about 1 gigawatt. And as mentioned, our CFO and the group CEO, we are make sure that is FY 2028, we will manufacture minimum 1 gigawatt hour BSS container in our factory based in Ahmedabad. And we are targeting to around more than 2 gigawatt, but practically we will suppose to deliver our first gigawatt in 2028. And expected revenue would be around 950 crore is the today current price.
Right. Tiwari, you spoke about reaching the 5 gigawatts. So that will be eventually, let's say, how many years you will take to reach that 5 gigawatts?
Our group target, our internal target is the less than 3 years. We will achieve 5 gigawatt hour. But practically and theoretically it is possible. In our initially we mentioned it was mentioned 2030. Before 2030, we will achieve our 5 gigawatt hour complete solution, because we are not going to only manufacture the container, our BSS. We are going to for the all this solution, like initially stage, we are going to manufacture 5 gigawatt hour BSS plant in Ahmedabad. And projects, we are also launching our project solution like EPCs, EPC with the solar and EPC with the stand alone. So we are providing our containerized BSS solution, as well as we are going to make the project inside the our country. And we are also targeting, if you are getting any tender out of the India, we are also targeting to complete this project.
Right. Tiwari, if you can help us understand, who are the current players in this segment now in the domestic market?
Is the current player, if you are talking about the current player, there is no such a manufacturer having the automatically, yes, few players is already enter, like JSW and Page Digitech, and other they announce, and they just announce, but still on the ground level like us, because we already decided to buy the line. Our line will be installation start from the month of June and July. So we will start our production from August onwards. Others, they announcement prismatic, because the cylindrical lot of players there, but prismatic I think so three four players like JSW and Page Digitech, etc.
Sure, Tiwari ji. Aryan ji, now since we have entered into this space, so would you like to upgrade our 5,000 crore net sales target by 2030? Like, I'm sure this number will be like way more than 5,000 crore now.
Definitely. But as of now, this 5,000 is, which we are projecting, is from the existing line of business.
Correct.
We are not giving any separate guidance for BESS project. It will come in the following quarters. As of now, the main is from the existing business.
Sure. And now coming to this, maybe, you know, again, I'll come back in the queue. One more question on this capacity addition. FY27, you already spoke about. What about FY28 and the CapEx for that will be helpful?
Everything is in, you can say, in pipeline. The number and the details cannot be shared immediately, but definitely you will see by next quarter, a lot of details are being published or revealed. So as of now, I will stick to the numbers which we have already disclosed regarding the PVC and HFFR part.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much and all the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Bhargav from Ambit Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, team, and thank you very much for the opportunity. So my first question is on the BESS project. So just wanted to understand that who will be the customers? Would we be supplying to the EPC players? And secondly, would this be more of a domestic business, or we are looking at export opportunity as well?
Tiwariji?
Yes. I can give the answers one by one. Is like regarding to start about the who will be our customer. Customer is decided two parts. One is the government, one is the semi-government. If you are talking about government and semi-government, there are around 15 customers. Is like if I'm just giving one example, like SECI, SJVN, NTPC, CPDCL, PGCIL. These are the players who will direct buy from us. DC plus AC both. They are not going to separate only DC container. They will buy complete solution. So these will be the direct our customer. If we are talking about the private customer, so lot of private customer is there, like Ace Renitech, Bonada, Enrich Energy, Enviro Inva, Fourth Partner, Insolare, GSP Project, Kalpa Power, Kintech, Krishna Corp Limited, L&T, MKC Infrastructure Limited, NCC Limited, NTPC, GE Power, Opera Energy, Pratap Technologies, Progeal Green, Raise Power Infra, RS Infra Project, Satvik Green, Solar Work, SPML, Sterling and Wilson, Swellect Energy, Jetwork Manufacturing, Juveri. These are the customers where this customer already won the tender, and they are also participating the tender because they are expert in EPC. So we are targeting to directly with the 30 customer to sell our DC part of containers, and we are targeting 4 to 5 government projects where we will supply DC plus AC battery energy storage system direct to the government of India. Thank you so much.
And sir, is this business also going to be working capital intensive? Because many of the names you mentioned essentially refer to PSU. So if you can highlight on that part as well.
Yeah. This types of project are very high working capital intensive, and our CFO Mr. Arihant will also explain about these things, but these are the very high working capital intensive.
Bhargavji, just to add to it, is that in this business, the major role is of procurement and processing than the supplies. Since there is a limited supply available from the Indian context, so the main working capital requirement is towards procurement from the raw material part as well as processing time. So probably as Tiwariji said, definitely working capital requirement is high, but that is more towards the supply chain management.
So in terms of number of days, would it be fair to say about 4 to 6 months of working capital investment will be there?
No, exactly. It is not the way which we are looking in this. We are looking towards 60 to 75 days at max to start with, wherein we will be the suppliers to them. And when we think of going to the next stage, when we will be tying up with the government agencies or supplying them directly, then probably this will change. But as of now, to start with, we are targeting a limited cycle.
And does this business also benefit our conventional business? Are there any synergies?
Yes. If you see, the ultimate beneficiaries to some extent are similar. Maybe NTPC, Power Grid or any other big player who are ultimately consuming the cables and the this BESS containers, both are same. Secondly, we being aligned with the power cable industry and power industry, there are a lot of commonalities, whether that is solar as an additional requirement or a regular transmission and distribution line. So this is just to keep up with the, you can say, storage of power to make sure there is no loss of power. So that is something which we are addressing. As of now, we are supplying cables for transmission. Now we are ensuring that we will be helping them to restore the wastage of power.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification. Sir, my last question is that if you look at the domestic revenue growth, it's closer to about 13% for 9 months. So now that the US tariff deal has been sorted and we were sort of impacted indirectly because of the deemed exports, what kind of visibility do we have now? Is it fair to assume that this revenue growth should pick up the domestic growth?
Bhargavji, if you don't mind, can you repeat your question? We lost your voice in the interim.
Sir, I'm saying that our domestic revenue growth was about 13% in 9 months. And that was impacted because of the US tariff as well, because we are a deemed export beneficiary. So now that the tariff seems to have been resolved, is it fair to assume some pickup in this growth going forward?
So, Dhariji, I will request you to add.
Yes. We are very confident that this growth should pick up now, because last 6 months, say starting from August, it had been a very difficult period because we have seen some recovery coming back in the month of November, but again it dropped by mid of December again. So now we are getting clear signal from our customers that all uncertainties are behind us. So they will approach the American market aggressively, and we being well prepared for that, because we are the only company in India holding, means having the right product for that application, and also having the US certification, because we are already listed for one product already listed. For two more products will be listed during the, say, FY 26-27. So as early as it will start from June 2026. So we'll definitely get benefit of that, and we'll be able to capture greater market share in that area as well.
Great, sir. Thank you very much, and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Guru Darshan from Kitara Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, I'm audible?
Yes. Good afternoon.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, just on the margin front, during the quarter we have seen around volume growth of around 10%, while the EBITDA has been 7%. Could you help me understand key factors that led to this divergence, like decline in EBITDA margins or EBITDA per kg for the current quarter?
I don't know how you're calculating the numbers, but as per my calculation, the EBITDA per ton has moved from last quarter by almost 150 plus rupees, rather close to 180 rupees. And when I compare the similar for 9 months also, there is a positive growth of almost 570 rupees. So probably if you can just elaborate.
Yeah. What has been the volume growth for the current quarter?
Yes, just a second. So in the current quarter, the volume growth as compared, the volume sold growth as compared to the previous quarter is close to 6%. And when I compare the similar number on Y basis, the number is at close to 6%.
Okay. So I got the volume growth wrong. Just on the BESS initiative, just to clarify my understanding, your current plan is to focus on assembly where you import battery cells, you integrate into modules or battery packs, followed by containerization, right? Along with power, electronics, EMS, safety systems, and all that.
Yes.
Yeah. My question specific to Mr. Dev Surana, given this is a new business line for the company, could you help me understand how you're building execution capabilities, and also don't you see any growth opportunities or investment opportunities within the existing, specialty chemical compounds we operate in?
Thank you for your question. See, the answer is simple. We want to be a one-stop solution to provide as many solutions as possible in the power and transmission sector. So while our current existing products have sufficient growth drivers, and is well poised for the next 5 years. So getting into the battery energy storage sector and essentially entering the renewable sector directly is also aligned and synergistic with the existing operations. So the key in that is the procurement, the processing. Again, it's a very technical product. So nowadays, most of the people are just assembling it, just buying and assembling it. Essentially, they are traders. But we have the technical backing and the right components to provide the right service. So it is actually very well aligned and synergistic with the existing products.
Could you expand on the technical backing you just mentioned?
I think Tiwari ji can explain you better that. So Mr. Tiwari, if you can help Mr. Guru.
Yes, sir. So let me reply, sir, about the technically things. The first important things why BSS demand will be very high in India. Solar and wind are intermittent right now. The grid cannot handle sudden fluctuation. So BSS is the only scalable solution for balancing variable renewable energy. So regarding the technology selection, we had selected our the automatic lines. The automatic lines means we will just buy the lithium cell, and the lithium cell configuration from 314AS as well as 587. It is called very high quality LFP cell and prismatic cell. We will buy just only LFP, and we will make our cell to battery and battery to pack and pack to container. So based on the technology, we are not going to buy just line to make this battery and the pack and our container assembler. We are buying the all these equipments which can be ensured that whatever we are importing the raw materials, they will check 100% insurety that all the LFP cells and the pack and the cables and BMS must be checked before start the production. And the during the productions, each and every equipment have the testing inside the facilities. They will check each and every parameter like open circuit voltage, IR insulation resistance, and safety precaution for the all this BMS and BMU during the our manufacturing process. So group CEO mentioned that we are not just only to have starting only a manufacturing assembly line. We ensure that the reliability of products, because the our base battery energy storage system life is more than 15 years. So currently 6,000 cycle, but in future we are going to provide 10,000 cycle. It means greater than 15 years. So how we will ensure? Because we are buying and we are set up our reliability lab inside our factory. So we already have a highly technical person. And presently I am in China exploring this thing right now, so that we are make sure that the every products importing to the dispatch of container, dispatch of the customer, each and every parameters we will test it by ourselves. So it's like a day to day, it's like a process test, quality test, incoming good inspection test, as well as reliability test. In terms of reliability test, we are not going to compromise anything in terms of safety, in terms of life cycle. And we are going to get all this international certificate which are ensuring that our product is 100% is perfect before launching our product in the India market as well as global market. So from first day, we are going to apply IEC certificate and UL 9540A, which are very typical components against the battery energy storage system. So from basic to the end of the life UL test, we will conduct all the tests in-house, as well as if some test is a special testing requirement by the customer, we will do by third party. So our line is capable to handle the 314AS as well as the longer cell in the future also. So at least 10 years, our line can be compatible to run the BSS prismatic cell from 5 megawatt hour container to 10 megawatt hour container. we are not only the manufacturer in India. We already have the technical tie-up in China as well as other countries also. We are going to have some technical transfer with other countries. So make sure that whatever we are going to make battery energy storage system, because inside the battery energy storage system, lot of technology is involving. Like a pack, inside the pack is the cells and with a BMU, battery management unit system. So we are setting our factory with a global standard, and even beyond the global standard, each and every parameters checked inside our factory, sir. Please, if you have any questions, sir, please let me know.
Understood, understood. Just last one question I have. You have indicated investment of around 150 crores in this business. I believe even the working capital would be much more than, 150 crores. Just want to understand what your internal calculations you're expecting, ROCE or return on investment you're expecting, and the payback period.
Over to
Arian.
Yes, thank you. So we are expecting that the working capital will definitely be comparatively higher, but the major working capital utilization will be through non-fund based than the fund-based side. Secondly, this 150 odd crores includes the capex and the margin for working capital requirement to put together. We expect that the payback will be in the range of 2 to 3 years of time for the capex, whilst ROCE we are expecting in high double digits in the range of 25 to 30%.
A lot of players are entering into this space. Don't you see pressure on the realization and the margin front?
Yes, you are correct. See, what where we are coming from. There are 2-3 things which I wanted to add to what Divariji said. One, BESS is a tailor-made solution. It is not a standard solution. Every customer will need a different design and different requirement. And accordingly, you have to come up with the design. Why? Just for an example, like it's similar like cables. When you have an installation in location like Khavda, there is a marshy soil which will require a different build. Whereas if you are coming to say somewhere like Rajasthan where it's a desert, you will require a different build. So that is one part. Second part is your temperature profile. If you are applying this container in the Gujarat or Rajasthan areas, definitely there will be comparatively higher temperatures as compared to the other part of the country where like east, where the temperatures come down with regular monsoon rains or pre-monsoon rains also. So it will be a mix of a lot of things. You have to be recruit a lot of technical people to take and ensure the power connection systems, the battery management systems, the temperature cooling systems and fire management systems, everything put together. So, though what it seems from a distance that it is comparatively assembly business, it is much more complicated when you go deeper into it. So, from that perspective, definitely you can see from an outside area that there will be challenges in terms of pressure in revenue or per unit metrics. But given the demand supply situation and given the complexities involved, we feel it is not visible for the next 3 to 5 years of time.
Understood. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manan Poladia from MKP Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So my question is with relation to the BESS segment. Since it's a new line of business for us, I'm just curious how the management thinks of capital allocation in the context of our current business and this business. And just if you could clarify what sort of capital long term we intend to invest in this business, I think that would be great.
Yes. So as far as the capital allocation thought process is concerned, see, our first objective priority remains the compounding industry, where we are already expanding. We have already done few expansion and we are already expanding on multiple fronts. When this is done, even we are planning to consolidate few of the units in the western part into a bigger unit. All these allocations are priority, after which whatever excess cash is available with us, we are planning to get into this new business. This is point number one to address your capital allocation thought process. Second, when you see the comparatively high working capital or whatever scenario is concerned, see, we have sufficient limits which are lying idle today. So it is not that we are going to borrow afresh. It are the limits are already in place and it will be utilized for this business also. And as far as you can say business profile or margin is concerned, that we have already discussed.
Right, sir. I understand. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor and Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Namaskar, sir. Hope I'm audible.
Yes. Namaskar, Saketji.
Yeah. Sir, firstly, in terms of the new opportunity where we have now taken a very big step in BESS, how are the realization fixed? Means what factors when we are taking this revenue potential or the revenue metrics which we are giving, what are the factors that will affect it? And in today's context, how are these formulated? Firstly, sir, if you could just give some color on the same.
Saketji, as Tiwari ji highlighted just a few minutes back, that today roughly 1 gigawatt hour is being sold at, the containers for 1 gigawatt hour BESS is sold at roughly 950 odd crores. We have considered a conservative turnover of 800 to 900 crores for the same. So that is from that perspective. The numbers are being calculated on the basis of prevailing lithium ion prices on the global market. And that is what the base remains every time for arriving at the right base price. It were comparatively higher few months back. It has now liberalized a bit. And we hope that it is now getting stabilized because a lot of technology is being involved and upgradation work is being happening. Like Tiwari ji highlighted, our machines are having capability from 314 kilowatt hour to as high as 600, close to 600 kilowatt hour. So globally, these technologies will keep on upgrading and accordingly the prices will adjust. The lithium ion price may not adjust, but per kilowatt price will actually drive the overall selling price. So we have calculated our turnover based on that. And the first full financial year considering 1 gigawatt hour of sales from this perspective.
And so to promote this exercise, is the government also providing us any incentives or any metrics that is coming into play in the capex that we have factored in?
No. So what happens in this business is the project announced by whatever agency, whoever is a company, probably government or non-government, there is a viability gap funding which is being given to them because the implementation cost versus a viable cost of project, there is still a gap because of the raw material and other things. So government have already allocated 1,000 crores specifically for the current coming financial year for this. Earlier also they have given a lot of viability gap funding for the existing projects which have been announced. So we see that this will continue for some time till the time there is entire ecosystem being developed in the country. So from that perspective, no direct incentive is coming to us, but definitely to the industry, it is coming, making it viable to set up this project and consume or you can say retain the energy which is getting lost today.
Right, sir. Sir, when we look at our addition of capacities, it was in HFFR and PVC. So how will these additions impact the EBITDA per ton number? Because I think so these are mostly, HSFR is especially specialized, but PVC compounds would be the commodity part only or the low margin. Correct me there, sir. How will the EBITDA trajectory shaping up with the capacity addition that we have done?
Kothari ji, I will request you to address.
Yeah.
Namaskar, Kothari ji.
On PVC, I would recall the last con call. There we highlighted that our capacity addition is driven by the demand, anticipated demand, which we from the entry of UltraTech and the Sadani, because both of them are entering the in the power cable and wire segment, And the first task or first objective they are taking is to attack the wire segment, because both are backward integrated with the copper availability, so they will go for house wiring. And within the, our portfolio of PVC, the house wiring segment gives us better margin. So when we are adding capacity, the capacity is basically being added to serve the demand, which will come from people like Adani and Ultratech for building wire, where we anticipate better than the average margin. And last quarter also, when we were having a discussion, it was clearly visible that we are improving margin on PVC business. Second part of is that as UL, we are having XLP product UL certified, which drives our margin towards margin enhancement. Same is possible with PVC-based product also, because there are many applications, many products which go for UL-approved cables with the PVC application. So for that, we are already working. One such tie-up we already arranged with UL Laboratories for the certification, and once that certification is achieved, which takes around 6 to 8 months' time, we'll be able to add some high-margin product to our portfolio of PVC. So we'll, on average, we'll improve our margin with new capacity of PVC.
Okay. So when we hear your customers, they are also looking for backward integration in terms of this compounding exercise, so that they also want to maintain their margins also, and also on the raw material aspect for them. So what is your current understanding, sir, the term with the, your customers, how was, what percentage of your customers, sir, abhi kitna apna captive ke liye taiyari kar rahe hain? So if you could just give some understanding.
Backward integration will always remain a attractive proposition for any customer. Okay, as they attain scale, they will try to go for backward integration, but it is not an easy task, and it is not a philosophy which has come, say, just last 2 years back or 1 year back or two quarters back. This is a philosophy which is there in place for multiple years, but doing the backward integration is not that easy. As we have been explaining in multiple of our calls, that commodity product like PVC for in-house consumption, for power cable, even for building wire, yes, there a backward integration is a possibility, because it is easy product, easy to process, not much of IP is involved, and not much of capex per ton is involved. So yes, there a lot of people have gone for backward integration, and as the people attain size, they will go for backward integration. But on the XLP side, there are products which are low voltage, which are, I will say, commodity product. There, yes, people can go for backward integration. But going for specific and specialized product, where a lot of intricacies are involved, there it is not possible for most of the customers to go for a backward integration. In India, I will say that today, the many people have gone for backward integration. Those are still buying large quantities from us, the very same product which they are producing themselves. So our expertise of providing the solutions to new problems, because cable, every time you are having a new specification, new requirement, and when you are addressing a new market, then people who are doing the in-house compounding, they can make commodity, but they cannot make products which are required for specialized application. They do not have that know-how, how to produce. For example, if you have to put a cable in a marshland of cut-off run, okay, and what kind of jacketing compound will be required there, for that, you need to have that kind of understanding of polymer and chemistry to design and develop a product. They cannot do it. So we are having enough opportunity for these segments where we'll continue to grow. And the proof is there that the many people are doing backward integration for the last 5 years. They are producing their own compound in various segments. But still we are growing continuously and will continue to grow, because there are additional segment, challenging segment, where our expertise will keep us ahead.
Right, sir. And Arinji, since we have added capacity in the last quarter, and utilization levels, I think so you have mentioned at around 80%, what should be the exit utilization levels for us for this year, the average? How will that move up for quarter four and then for next year? Any the trajectory?
We are expecting the average utilization to be beyond 70% on overall basis, even after PVC and HFFR addition. Overall, given our existing trajectory, which we have already announced earlier also, we expect this year to be closing somewhere in the range of 200,000-205,000 metric tons, which is probably, if you see, out of 268, it is more than 70%.
Correct, sir. And the EBITDA per ton basis is likely to be in the same trajectory. I think so. The RM prices have also slightly moved up with the variations in the crude oil prices. So are these EBITDA per ton numbers sustainable for us going forward also?
Yes. See, if you see the EBITDA per ton for this entire year, though there has been a lot of volatility in this financial year for the 9 months, and if you see the first three quarters, the trajectory has been on the positive side. Though marginal, every quarter around 150-200 rupees of growth is there, but it is on a positive side. So we expect the average, which has reached to almost 15,500 rupees, which was our overall target between 15,500-15,600, is there. And last quarter always remains comparatively better. So we see a positive trajectory for the last quarter also.
Okay. So because 2 years earlier, when we started the call for the fourth quarter, there was some discounting from your.
That was one of the special quarters.
Yeah. So that will not, I think, so that anomaly you have already corrected for the current financial year.
See, that happens as it has been explained earlier also. That happens only when there is a disruption in the positive side, and that has been absorbed for that particular year. Now, for the next financial years, it becomes a regular phenomenon. There is no new disruption.
Okay.
See, I will just add to this to clarify.
Please.
The disruption that year was in form of entry of HMEL with an additional capacity in the second half of the year. So the discounts which came as a bonanza in last quarter were not anticipated in the first or second or even third quarter. So now there are no such new entrant at this moment. So we do not see any such disruption.
Okay, sir. Thank you for all the elaborate answers, sir. I'll join the queue. But the dividend payout, sir, on the merit of the board, we as investors would like to understand, sir, why the payout of 0.50 when we have posted EPS of 14 rupees for 9 months. What was there and how have they deliberated on this 5 crore rupees payout to investors as interim, sir? Very small point, and I'm joining the queue, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on the touch-tone telephone. The next question is from the line of Murtaza from Pinpoint Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening. Am I audible?
Yes, you're audible.
Yeah. So I had just two questions. First of all, among our top wire and cable clients, I just wanted to understand whether the growth is coming from more newer client additions or is it deepening of wallet share with the existing customers?
It is a mix of both.
Is it quantifiable a little, like vaguely?
See, not specifically quantifiable immediately for me, but definitely it is coming from both. We are adding customers both in the international as well as the domestic market. While the existing wallet share from the top few customers remains constant, where we have a target by in next 2 years, we want to increase our wallet share there as well. Kothari ji can add further.
Yeah. See, as Arihant has rightly said, that the growth is coming from both these areas, addition of new customers and increasing our share with those customers, existing customers. Because as we are adding more product, higher-end product, and as we are getting the approval with our existing customer for those new products, our market share, our share with those customers is growing. Say, our recent expansion plan, we are going to add more capacity for, say, HFFR. So as we are adding capacity for HFFR, our market share is increasing with our existing customers. At the same time, we are finding new customers. Same will happen with the product for 66 kV XLPE also, that as we are getting more and more approval, as we are adding more and more capacity, the existing customer will also part with greater share of their business up to 66 kV XLPE insulation. Similarly, we'll be able to get new customers consuming this product.
Okay, understood, sir. Thank you very much. And one final question I have is, given our strong market position in XLPE and cable compounds, how do you see the competitive intensity increasing, or how is it looking? And how is the company defending or strengthening the market share, especially versus the organized players and the unorganized? I just wanted a little color on that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, so as far as the products which we are doing, only PVC compound, we do face competition from, say, unorganized sector players, but rest of the segments are mostly the competition with the organized sector. That is point number one. Point number two, as we explained in past multiple times, that there are product segments where we are having a dominant presence. So there we are continuously maintaining our dominant position, because that position, the dominance comes from your experience and expertise and the product performance demand. As you go higher on the voltage rating, say up to 1.1 kV, of course you are having a high intensity of competition. But once you go beyond 1.1 kV, towards 11 kV, that intensity goes down, because none of our competition, apart from those four or five big international players, they are having the same amount of experience and track record of supplying defect-free product for multiple years for that kind of critical application of insulating a conductor which is carrying a current of 11,000 volts. Okay, so 11 kV and above that area, this particular aspect is keeping us ahead. And the third aspect is the capability to provide the solution. Say, as people in India are trying to capture the international market more and more with the FTA with Europe and the intensity of exports to USA after this trade deal, the people need the product which are of global standard, which are not being consumed in India yet, like the CPR compliance of Europe. It is not applicable in India. So products for that application are entirely different, and those products are not available with most of other compounders, because that capability is missing. And that is what is keeping us ahead against any kind of competition. And we are delivering the best against both kind of competition. The competition which is coming from the small players, organized sector, but small players not having the same kind of experience and exposure, and the big players like Dow and Borealis. We are playing the role in between. Say, we are providing technical solution against the small players, which is superior, and we are providing tailor-made solution and flexibility against the big players who are mostly selling the product off the shelf and are having the rigidity. So we are countering competitions on both the ends successfully so far.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Just one question I missed in from the earlier person, Mr. Saket. He sought a query on the dividend, how we arrived at the... So it is just an interim number, and if you see, last year we didn't give any interim, but prior to that, the similar percentage was announced. That remained our benchmark, and then we have followed the same. I hope that addressed his queries. Now I hand over the call to Mr. Devji to give his concluding statement.
Thank you all for your time and energy on this call. See, at this scenario, Dev Plastics, as you heard from the team, is well primed to expand further on our existing core business of XLP compounds, HFR compounds, which is well poised to focus on further export markets with UL approvals already in place, and there are much more in pipeline, which you'll hear in the coming quarters. Same with our expansion of capacities, which also in the coming quarters you will hear about. So for the existing core business, we are very optimistic about the demand, which is a mix from both the predominantly from the existing clients as well, and addition of new clients as well. And for PVC, the addition of UltraTech and Builda, which is a welcome addition, is also going to enhance our capacities and market share in the PVC production as well. As far as BESS is concerned, as you all know, this renewable sector is a sunrise sector, and the government's target is 500 megawatts up till 2030. So there is so much demand in the renewable sector and so much scope in the renewable sector, which we synergistically want to tap into. Also, from DISCOMs right up till the INC players. So this has a wide range of applications and use, which will continue to have a good demand on the BESS storage business as well. So overall, I think we are very optimistic on the coming many years, and we are well poised for a good amount of substantial growth. So I thank you all again for joining us. And if you have any other questions and queries, please let us know. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Go India Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.